My name is Joseph Conran, and I'm here, as the senator said, for a second time, once again addressing the unimaginable, immoral, really dangerous 1999 clemencies to 16 Puerto Rican terrorists of Los Macheteros and the FALN. We'll call them the FALN. These terrorists proudly claim responsibility for over 130 bombings in the U.S., including the murder of my 33-year-old father, Frank Connor, as he ate lunch at Francis Tavern, downtown New York. It was January 24th, 1975. Despite the warnings and recommendations to the contrary from the FBI, the Bureau of Prisons, prosecutors, Janarino herself, then Deputy Attorney General and current Attorney General nominee, Eric Holder, yesterday flatly admitted recommending release of those terrorists. Upon hearing those words yesterday, some questions popped into my mind. One was, did he actually believe in their cause? Number two, did he recommend the release at someone else's direction, perhaps the president? Or number three, and maybe most disturbing, did he not know what they did? It seemed that a lot of the issues that were raised, he claimed he didn't know about, from the surveillance tape of them building bombs to their threat of Judge McMillan at their sentencing. And that was disturbing. He admitted to have taken advice from people outside our government, dignitaries, if you will, folks like Desmond Tutu, Jimmy Carter, Coretta Scott King, and ignored those people within our government, the FBI, the Bureau of Prisons, the prosecutors. Something didn't add up. When we look back at the people whose recommendation he did take, on what information were they basing the recommendation? Were they told the political prisoner, I put that in quotes, line, that the pro-FALN people were passing, or do they actually know the facts? Something tells me if they knew the facts, they wouldn't be recommending this. Putting aside his well-documented involvement in the outrageous pardon of Mark Rich, the Attorney General nominee's egregious recommendation for playing Russian roulette by unleashing unrepentant terrorists on the American people against the advice of the FBI, Bureau of Prisons, prosecutors, even Janarino herself, should disqualify him on its own merit. It's almost 10 years ago, but incredibly, we're revisiting today the same issues. The recriminations of the hearings, and how sad that we have to go through this again. We knew the clemencies were wrong in 1999. After all, the Senate voted 95-2 to condemn them. Yet, here we are contemplating the confirmation of the architect of that very release. As a top law enforcement officer in our country, how can this be? If anything, the devastating attacks of 9/11, we should be more resolute in our opposition to anybody who would be soft on terror or support any terrorist organizations. If anyone needs to be reminded about what terrorism can do, give me a couple minutes. It was a beautiful day on January 24th, 1975. I had just turned 9, my brother Tom had just turned 11. That night, my mom was cooking us a dinner to celebrate our birthdays, and we were expecting our father home on time to celebrate with us. Well, after we got home from school, we found out that there was a bombing downtown. We didn't know my father was in it right away. My mom didn't know he had a meeting that day. He wore an old suit. He wouldn't have expected to be with clients. But when she called up, he didn't answer. She knew then something was wrong. After hours, we finally got the news that he'd been killed. He and three others were murdered that day, intentionally, and as we may find out later from Rick, who will give a bit more information, the bomb was meant to kill a lot more people than the four that it ended up killing. My dad was only 33, as I mentioned. He was the only child of immigrants Thomas Connor and Margaret Maloney. His father was an elevator operator downtown, and his mom was a cleaning lady at J.P. Morgan. She was so proud when she got him the job, so he wouldn't be in a dangerous position. His friends were becoming cops and firemen, or working in the subways. But he got a job in a nice office at a high school. And his was an American success story. He went to college at night. He worked his way up to an officer position at J.P. Morgan. And he had two sons, and he had made something of himself. From a cleaning lady to an officer at the bank. It was an amazing story. Although my mom is remarried to a fine man, and my brother Tom and I have families of our own, not a day passes without us feeling the void that this has left in our lives. My father's death has become a wound, and it was reopened when the clemencies were offered, and it's been reopened now by this nomination. These terrorists took away my dad's life. As we mentioned, you never get to see his sons graduate high school, college, meet his daughters-in-law, or be a grandfather. Now we ask why. My kids ask why, what happened. It seems that it was all done for politics. Was a direction from the president to further his wife's Senate future? Or was it something else? Was it someone who believed in the cause of the terrorists? Who were the FALN? And like I said, Rick will get into it a little bit more, but contrary to the disingenuous claims we heard yesterday, there was nothing nonviolent about these people. These people blew up 130 bombs in the U.S. They killed 5 people, and they meant to kill a lot more. They devastated lives and maimed. The day after their release, one of them was on with Tim Russert, and when asked about the Francis bombing, one of these people who was nonviolent, had nothing to do with it, said, well, you know what? The restaurant didn't take the proper precautions, blaming someone else, never taking responsibility for what happened. And these people were released. On 9/11, my brother Tom and I commuted through the World Trade Center. We left. I said goodbye to him in the Trade Center. I went my way. He went his. At 8:45, I saw the North Tower explode out my window. I couldn't get Tom on the phone, and I called my cousin Steve, who worked at Cantor Fitzgerald. Steve never answered. Steve was my father's godson. He was killed on 9/11. Tom and I got home that night safely to our families. But there's consequences. Terrorism cannot be treated as a political tool. It has to be treated for what it does. It kills people, and it hit our family very hard twice. Despite what Mr. Freed just said, the clemency process was not followed properly. We were never informed as a family of their release, although I understand we were supposed to have been through the Victims' Rights and Restitutions Act of 1990. The terrorists did not request clemency. They did not express remorse. They were not required to provide information solving other crimes. They were allowed 30 days to decide to accept the conditions, and they were given conference calls between prisons. Now, clemency is an individual grant, yet they were treated as a group. And that's not right. Supporters were given 9 meetings with Mr. Holder and his group. You know how many we got? None. He never talked to us. Despite what he said yesterday, there was no consideration to the victims, at least the people I know.
Joseph Connor is the son of a man killed by Puerto Rican nationalists in 1975.
Had we been properly notified, we would have told him what happened, because it seemed like yesterday from the conversation, he didn't know about the threats to the judge, he didn't know about them building bombs. It was a very disturbing moment in the interviews yesterday. The biggest issue that I read in the recently released memos, as it came from the Justice Department, was how the public relations fallout might be if these guys committed more crimes. Not what might happen to those people who were injured by them, but what the public relations issues would be for Holder and his team if something went wrong. I have a whole litany of questions I would like to put into the record. I know I'm kind of going late now. I can I can read them now, or I can do it another time. But I have a bunch of questions.
I've read them, and if you want to
flex some, more.
Flex them, go ahead. And,
okay.
I'm trying to give as much flexibility to all
the way. I appreciate that. Look, I know I'm going long.
I know this is a difficult time. I'm not trying to cut you off. And your whole statement, of course, will be made part of the record. But if there's some of those questions you'd like to emphasize, please go ahead.
Thank you. See, yesterday, a lot of issues came up that caused this my statement to change and my questions to change, because he said some things that were just a surprise. He admitted that he knew so little about the terrorists. As he testified yesterday, he hadn't seen the surveillance video, didn't know they threatened the judge. How then could he know enough about the case to feel comfortable in releasing them? What does that say about the judgment there? He said none of these terrorists were part of any attacks that killed or hurt people. Given his limited knowledge on the subject, how could he possibly know that? And given what Ricardo Jimenez said on Meet the Press, that's just not true. He took advice of others over his own due diligence, and from what I could see. And that's irresponsible. It borders on incompetence. Now, I know he has a long record, and I know there's a lot of very good people here who have spoken to his successes in the past. But it's not unprecedented that one mistake can disqualify you. Look what happened when Clinton had Zoe Baird and Kimball Wood. They were both very qualified people, and both of them had to withdraw their nomination because they did something like hire illegal aliens to work in their house and didn't pay taxes on them, which to me is far less egregious than what he did. We talked about, he mentioned yesterday that Cardinal O'Connor supported clemency. That's not true. I have a letter from the Cardinal specifically saying he didn't, because I contacted the Cardinal at the time. We came here in 2000 and introduced the Pardon Attorney Reform and Integrity Act, and we warned at the time about future terrorist acts. And we hoped that by instituting this act, which never was instituted, that there wouldn't be releases like this, that there would be a light shining on people so everyone would know what the pardon attorney was doing and what the Justice Department was doing before the clemencies were released. And that's the transparency that we need. Not yesterday in the meetings when Mr. Holder was asked to produce a document recommending the clemency, he didn't want to do it. Now, this new administration is supposed to be the most transparent in our government's history, yet his attorney general has no transparency. I'll go now, but I urge the Senate to review Mr. Holder's record, put aside any politics, put themselves in the shoes of ordinary Americans who have given them their trust and their vote, and decide if this man who recommended playing Russian roulette with American people by releasing unrepentant terrorists should be charged with protecting our fellow citizens. I think ordinary Americans would agree. The answer is very clear.